Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 1. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, Luke's Gospel is a little prologue. And the first four verses say, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And may it please the great God of heaven that formed all things to stamp his divine approval upon the reading, hearing, heeding, and preaching of his forever settled in heaven word of God." Amen. I'm going to ask you to pray for me, but first I want to give you three quick facts about God. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Would you pray for me? Father, in Jesus' name, help me to say what I want to say, like to say, and to say it in an appropriate time. I don't want to be abusive about that, but I pray that you'd stir our hearts, and may your will be done in every heart and life here, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible says that Luke, who was the doctor, he was the beloved physician. He's mentioned in three times in the Bible. He's a guy that stood with Paul through thick and thin. He was with him at the end. And Luke has written some things. As a doctor, he used more medical terms than Hippocrates did, who was the father of medicine. And he tells a number of stories in the gospel that's not found in Matthew, Mark, or John. And two of the stories that he told that are not in Matthew, Mark, or John is the parable of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son. And I suspect those two stories have probably been an encouragement, a challenge, a help to more people down through the centuries than maybe any other stories that Jesus ever told. And Luke has preserved them for us. Here in this passage of Scripture, he starts off with a little prologue. Now, Jesus asked his disciples one day, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're thus and thus and thus." He said, "But who do you say I am?" What I'm interested in today is, what does the Bible say about Jesus? Who do we say that he is? The latter part of John chapter 10 says that John the Baptist, John did no miracle. Well, I thought, I've never done a miracle either. John did no miracle, but all things that he said of this man were true. John did no miracle, but he told the truth about Jesus. Amen. After pastoring for a number of years, there are numbers of times I wish I could have done a miracle. I could not do a miracle. But I could and tried to tell the truth about Jesus all of these years. And I want to tell the truth about Jesus here today. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, that as many have taken in hand to set forth in order declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were ministers and eyewitnesses of the word. What is an eyewitness? I pastored church for a number of years. Very few times did I ever say the Greek word is. And I believe in the King James Bible, and that's what I preach. My best defense of a King James Bible is just to preach it. Amen. And but the word is auto-optes. Optes is the word that we get the word optical, to see. And auto is self. Auto optes is to see for oneself. And that's the word autopsy. You know that word. I went over to the medical examiners in our city, and I said, "I want to speak to somebody who does autopsies. I wanted to see one." Now, I'm thankful to this day that I did not get to see one, because I'd probably still have some of that stuff in my memory. But they told me that when they do an autopsy, they do a full external exam, and they measure and check everything. And then they open them up, and they do a full internal exam. And they can tell you how a person died. You might have thought that this person died by drowning, but the autopsy may show they died by poison. It will tell you how you can see for yourself. And so I thought we ought to be able to do a see for ourself. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has come under some verbal attacks and written attacks in the last few years, especially around Christmas time and Easter time. And they would have you to believe that the Jesus Christ that you and I know and love and read about in the Bible is not the same Jesus Christ that is in reality. And this has been perpetrated by a group of men called the Jesus Seminar. It's 100 self-imposed scholars. Now, a scholar is someone who agrees with me or you. And if they don't agree with us, we don't think they're scholars. But then they don't think that we might be scholars either. These guys, they became famous because they had a red bead, a pink bead, a gray bead, and a black bead. And these 100 self-imposed scholars, they said, we're going to take what Jesus said and see if he actually said it. And if they believed Jesus said it, they put the red bead in. If they thought that Jesus, possibly he said that, they put the pink bead in. If they thought, no, he didn't say that, the early church or the disciples, they embellished this, they put the gray bead in. And if they're positive he didn't say that at all, they put the black bead in. They came to the conclusion that Jesus did not say 82% of what the Bible says he did say. And if the truth were known, they're not even sure about the other 18%. You know, it's all one package, folks. Either it's true or it's not true. I want you to know that the life of Jesus Christ is impossible to believe unless it's true. How could you invent an incarnation, a virgin birth, a sinless life, a life that did miracle after miracle after miracle, a crucifixion, a resurrection, an ascension, and a promise, I'm coming back? How could you invent such a life? First of all, why would you want to invent such a life? The only way that it could have happened is it did happen. But you see, for those guys, the religious climate in our society today is ripe for that. We have what we call restaurant religion. We have McDonald's religion. You deserve a break today. Or you can have Burger King religion. Have it your way. So today you can go to church and you can have a traditional service. You can have a conventional, contemporary service or a blended service. What about a hard preaching service or maybe a soft preaching service? Is it possible we would ever come to this place where you could have a Buddha service or a Muhammad service or a... Well, when you have restaurant religion, you could have just about anything you want. Now, I like Wendy's slogan best. Old-fashioned, hot and juicy. If we're going to have religion, let's do the old-fashioned way, hot and juicy. You know, let it just run down off the chin and enjoy it while you're having it. So Jesus Christ, who is Jesus Christ? If we were going to do an autopsy on who Jesus is and to see for ourselves, you would agree with me, I think, that if God were to become a man, and the Bible says without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. What one man do you know in all the world, past up to the present, that you would think if anybody has a chance, that person's God? Who would you choose other than Jesus Christ? He is God. You could choose he is God. You would expect if God were to become a man, he would have an unusual entrance into the world. Does that make sense? How does God become a man? We call it the incarnation. Incarnation in flesh. God came in flesh. If you ever went and bought chili for your hot dog, chili con carne is chili with meat. The incarnation is God who's a spirit with flesh on him. And he has come in the flesh. And when he came via a virgin. Isn't it interesting that Dr. Luke, a medical doctor, says more about the virgin birth than any other writer in the scriptures? He believed in the virgin birth. Amen. That the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she brought forth the Christ child. And when she came into the world as a virgin, God became man. This is so unusual. I told you it's unbelievable unless it's true. And it is true. And then what about the wise men who came from hundreds of miles away? Not just one, two, or three, but a large number of them came, shook up Jerusalem, shook up King Herod. And they said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east. We've come to worship him. Herod called the scribes and said, where's he supposed to be born? Where's he supposed to be born? Now, you would have thought, when Micah said that this will be the birthplace of the Messiah, they would have had a little sign out. I have seen signs here in Upper Peninsula about this little town as the state champions of somebody, that whatever. You would have thought that they would have had a little sign out that said, future birthplace of the Messiah. And they learned that it was in Bethlehem. And so they told Herod, he told the wise men, they went down there, and these wise men, they found the baby Jesus. And when they found him, they opened their treasures. And they presented to him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And they worshiped him. Now, who were they worshiping? The King of the Jews. But what did it look like? It looked like a baby. If you would have caught those men on the way out of Bethlehem, excuse me, sir, did you find him that is the King of the Jews? Oh, yes. Did you worship him? Oh, yes. Was it worth the trip? Oh, every mile. It was worth the trip. And if you ever saw him, it would be worth the trip.
Yes.
And the Lord told them to go home another way, so they did not go back and tell Herod. The Lord had an unusual entrance into this world. Does that make sense to you? We're doing an autopsy. We're trying to see for ourselves if Jesus is really who he said he was. How about you would think that if God were to become a man, he would have an unusual effect upon this world, an example of life. What about Jesus and the spirit world? In Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 4, Jesus had gone into the synagogue. And while he was there, there was a spirit or spirits. And they said, we know thee who thou art. You are the Holy One of God. They said, you are the Christ of God. You are the Son of God. I ask you, how did they know that? When Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said, Peter, you didn't get that from flesh and blood. The Father gave you that. And so here are these spirits saying, we know who you are. You're the Holy One. Now, the Holy One, according to Isaiah, this is Jehovah.
Yes.
This is God in the flesh. How did they know that? Where had they met him? When had they met him? When the devil left heaven, his tail drew a third part of those other beings that were with him. And these are some of those beings. They knew him on the other side of Bethlehem. They knew him before the incarnation. They had met him over there. And the Jesus crowd said, look, that really didn't happen. They added this to the story just to spice it up a little bit, make it more interesting. That's interesting because when you read those passages in Mark 1, Mark 3, Luke 4, Jesus said to those spirits, don't you say anything to anybody. Now, if he wanted them to embellish it, if he wanted them to spice it up, he wouldn't have said, don't tell anybody. Just keep this to yourself. Because he did not want the approval of the demonic world, the spirit world that was the unclean spirit, giving him any kind of credence at all. Jesus and the spirit world. What about Jesus and the Sabbath day? Now, you could get killed if you violated the Sabbath day. The Bible says in the Old Testament, a guy was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. And they put him in hold. They went to the Lord and they said, what should we do? He said, stone him. Because he knew he was not supposed to do that. He willfully disobeyed what God had said that they should not do. And it cost him his life. You have to admit that Jesus is an intelligent person. Just if he were not God, he's an intelligent person. He would not have violated the Sabbath day. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The man had a withered hand. He told him to stand up, stretch it out, and the man's hand was restored whole as the other. He went by the pool of Bethesda, and he wanted to know if the man would like to be made whole. It was the Sabbath day. He healed the man. In John chapter 9, the man was born blind. Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, neither. That's not why he was blind. And Jesus healed him. And they said, this man cannot be of God. He violates the Sabbath day. Don't you think he knew the Sabbath day was the Sabbath day? That would have been, quote, crazy to violate something that could cost you your life. Now, this is not a trick question. Which came first, man or the Sabbath? What do you think? Man did. Man came on the fifth day, or the sixth day, then Sabbath came on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, the man was, Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He can do whatever he wants to do on any day he chooses to do it. Because he is the Lord. Jesus and the Sabbath day. What about Jesus and the selection of the 12? One day he chose Peter, James, John, Andrew. He chose Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James. And he chose Thaddeus, and he chose Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. 12 people. Now, if you're trying to deceive somebody into having them believe that you are somebody that you are not, you do not invite 12 people to come and live with you. I went to a college and had roommates. Not one of us tried to convince the rest of us that one of us was God. And don't even try this at home. Go home and tell your wife, man, that you're God. See how far you get with that one. Go tell your children that you're God. See how far you get. Now, when they're little, you might get somewhere with them. I love the little story. This little kid, he was about 5 years old. He said to his daddy, Daddy, what's God like? And he said, well, God is kind and he's loving and he's da-da-da-da-da. And the little boy's eyes got big. He said, Daddy, are you God? Don't you wish that your kids might think that you were God sometime because you were living right and doing right? But you don't deceive people because you couldn't deceive people, not for 3.5 years, to believing that you are who you are not. You know, God loves people. He created people. He saves people. He uses people. And he likes for us to be people. I had a lady in my church who was in West Virginia. She gave me a statement one day. I said, Carolyn, that is brilliant. I've quoted this lady more than I've probably quoted anybody else. And she said to me one day, she said, Pastor, they're just acting like people. Have you ever met people who act like people? That's the way we are. We are people who act like people. And Jesus chose those 12 people. Did they believe he was who he said he was? So much so, they argued who's going to sit on the right hand and the left hand in the kingdom. Yeah. Judas Iscariot betrayed him, went out and hanged himself, but the rest of them gave their lives. Yeah. You don't give your life for a lie. Right. Jesus and the selection of the 12. What do you think? Is there a good possibility that Jesus is who he claimed to be? Right. What about Jesus and the sacred place? Now, the sacred place, in Israel, it's the Holy Land. In Jerusalem, it's the Holy City. And the temple was the holy place. And in the temple, there was the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. And Jesus would never have violated the sacred place. You remember, he went in and cleaned it out. You're making my Father's house a house of prayer. You're making it a den of thieves. And he would have none of it. The zeal of thine house had eaten him up. This was in a song. I wish I'd have thought of this. A guy wrote a song. Jesus, when he was 12 years old, went into the temple. And they said, son, he was asking them questions. And they were asking him questions. He was answering them. And they were amazed and astonished. And someone said, son, what's your name? Well, on my mother's side, my name is Jesus, amen, Savior of his people. On my father's side, my name is Emmanuel, God with us. Son, how old are you? Well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. On my father's side, I'm from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Son, where did you learn all this? Well, on my mother's side, I was raised at my dad and mother's knee and went to the synagogue. On my father's side, in me hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Son, what do you plan to do? Well, on my mother's side, I'm going to die on a cross for the sins of the world. And on my father's side, I'm going to be raised from the dead again the third day. Yeah. Son, if we ever see you again, how will we know you? Well, on my mother's side, you will know me by the print of the nails in my hands. Mm-hmm. On my father's side, I will be the one walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Yes. Yeah. I have white hair, and there will be heavenly beings saying, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and glory and honor. Jesus and the sacred place. Jesus is just shy of Calvary. He's going into Jerusalem. It's even time. He walks into the temple. And he does something a little unusual. He stands there and does this. He looked them over. Nothing said. And he left. But he came back the next day. And he began to clean out that temple. What in the world did he see there that got him to that place? He saw religion that was commercialized, convenient at best. And religion at worst was compassionless and Christless. And he cleaned it out. When you think about, what if Jesus showed up at Winkler Road Baptist Church, where I had the privilege of pastoring for a number of years, and just looked around? What would he see that he wanted to clean out, get rid of? What if Jesus came into Fundamental Baptist Church, looked around? What would he see? What would he want to say? That's got to go. That can't stay. Got to get rid of that. What if Jesus came and started just fingering about our hearts? What would he see? Don, that's got to go. You got to get rid of that. You got to get that out of here. I suspect he probably would do some house cleaning on most of us. And so Jesus and the sacred place. Well, how's he doing so far? You think he might be who he claims to be? What kind of effect do you think that God, if he were to become a man, would have on this world? Humanitarian, scholastic, artistic. Nobody has influenced this world more than Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's say you have your family in your car and you're going down through Detroit. And you know that there are certain sections of Detroit that are known to be pretty... You don't want to be caught in there after dark. And you got caught in there because you made a wrong turn. And all of a sudden, bang, thump, 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 thump. Oh, no. Your wife says, what's wrong? We got a flat tire. He said, I'm going to have to change it. Now, sweetheart, when I get out to change this tire, you lock this door and do not open it unless it's me. And it's about 10 o'clock at night. So you get out, you're trying to change this tire. All of a sudden, you look up. And here comes six big, husky, burly-looking guys. And you think, gulp. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you be encouraged a little bit if you knew that these six big, burly guys just came from a red-hot prayer meeting? Would that make you feel a little better? Yes. Of course it would. Because Jesus Christ makes a difference in people's lives. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Jesus has a great effect upon this world. Most all of the art that's worth anything has biblical themes. And hospitals and those kind of places are made by Christian people. Atheists don't build hospitals and those rescue missions and those kinds of places. It's God's people. Amen. That have done that. He has an unusual effect upon the world. If God were to become a man, how does he get off this planet? How does he make an exit? That's important. Well, it can't be any more unusual than Jesus being arrested, given a mock trial, sentenced to die, suspended between heaven and earth, flanked by two thieves. And he cries out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes. He says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He says, woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cries out, I thirst. And then I think with a shout of victory, it is finished. Amen. Amen. And Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head and delivered up his ghost. And he died. They were convinced he was dead. Pilate said, make sure if he's not, break his legs. They didn't have to break his legs. He was dead already. And Joseph and Nicodemus took him down, wrapped him in special cloth. And they took him over to Joseph's tomb. They laid him in there. They sealed that tomb. They went to Pilate and said, now we remember that deceiver said in 3 days, I'm going to rise again. Would you make sure that that doesn't happen? Would you seal that tomb? You know, that's one of the greatest proofs for the resurrection.
Amen.
They thought they were just shutting him out or whatever. They sealed it. They set a sentry. And 3 days and three nights later, up from the grave, he arose.
Amen.
With a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign.
Amen.
He is alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And I know that he is living. We do not serve a dead Jesus, a dead God. He is a living God.
Amen.
And when he was raised from the dead, just a few days later, he ascended up to the Father. And there was a promise saying, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.
Amen.
I'm coming back.
Amen.
Miss Judy and I was watching part of the RNC. I'd never heard this song before. And it was a song called Hold On, I'm Coming. I found out later it was an old song. I think sung by four black guys, Hold On, I'm Coming. And I heard them singing that song. It was probably a Trump thought, Hold On, I'm Coming. I told Judy, I said, you know, this would be a great sermon title for preaching on the second coming.
Yes,
Jesus could say, Hold On, I'm Coming.
Yes.
You know, we're living in a time right now, you better hang on.
Yeah.
Right. Are you going to be swept up by all kinds of craziness? Hold on, I'm coming. Jesus, hold on, I'm coming. It's not time to quit. It's not time to throw in the towel. Hold on, I'm coming.
Amen.
And he's coming again. And the Bible says, behold, I saw heaven open. And there was a white horse, and he that sat on him was clothed in special garment. And he had on a garment that was dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God.
Yes.
And I thought about, where did that garment get dipped in blood? I think when Jesus was raised from the dead, he made a quick trip to heaven and applied the blood on the heavenly altar. And I think just before he's returning with the second coming, he just stops by where that is and takes his garment and dips it in blood. I just want them to remind them about the blood.
Yes.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Aren't you glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when he comes back, he's still proclaiming the blood. That this man be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Luke said, we're eyewitnesses. I tried to help you to do a little autopsy to see for yourself who Jesus is.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.